Father God, we just come to you as Almighty God, who's ever present here. There's not a one of us in this room who doesn't need you. So Lord, we come to get today gathered as your children, desiring to hear from the throne of God. And Lord, I come as nothing more than a humble servant. I have no eloquent words to speak, but I come as your willing servant. Use me as your mouthpiece to speak to your people today. Let this word fall on hearts prepared to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of today's message is Believing in Your God-Given Power. Many of you who have known me for a long time know that I started preaching and teaching with our children. And I have seen many of our children come as 4- and 5-year-olds knocking at the door to Children's Church, who are now young adults. Somebody's getting old in the congregation. But one of the great things that I have learned is that our children can probably teach us more than the adults standing here, if you just open your ears. And one of the things that I have learned about our children is their belief. They believe that God is real, and that they believe that there is power. There is power in his name. There is power in prayer. And he can do the impossible if you just believe in the power he's given you. We as adults sometimes, or a lot of times, seem to lose that perspective. But our children don't. Years ago, there was a little boy who is now a young man, and he had issues with his eyesight. And he would come to church, to Harvest Kids. And when I would ask for, is there anyone that has anything for prayer, he or his brother, his older brother, would raise their hand and say, Miss Leah, pray that my brother won't need surgery, or that I won't need surgery on my eyes. These prayer requests were usually followed by a doctor's appointment shortly after. And then I would get a praise report. My brother doesn't need surgery. God's not going to require, God's not, you know, God's healing him. Those boys believed in the power of prayer, and nothing stopped them from raising their hands week after week asking for that. To this day, this young man is approaching 20 and has not had surgery on his eyes. Your children believe strongly in the power of prayer. There was a couple young girls who are now young ladies who would come week after week and ask for prayer for their friend. They would say, Miss Leah, our friend needs Jesus. Please, please pray that she will get saved. And one Sunday morning in Harvest Kids, those young girls came to me and said, guess what? We led her to the Lord in the back seat of our van. And as a young adult, in her early 20s, she's planted in a church still. Children believe in that power. They don't question it. They don't question it. And I could probably tell you hundreds, if not thousands, of these testimonies from your children. I can't tell you how many times I have had children come to me to pray for a bug bite. And I, in the beginning, used to think, oh, really? I want to pray for something bigger than a bug bite. But it is through every bug bite that has been healed, every bug bite that did not happen, that our children gain foundation in the power of God, in the power of prayer. I took that bug bite prayer with me when I went to Siberia, with Michelle and I went, because we were told the mosquitoes would drag you off in Siberia. And they were rather large. And Michelle and I in our hotel room said, Lord, please do not let the bugs come in this room. And you know what God did? He provided us with a screen. No other room in that hotel had a screen on the window, but ours did. There were other rooms that had got bed bugs. We didn't get bed bugs. We didn't even get a bug bite. There is power in that prayer. So I've learned, I'll pray for your bug bite. But our children just have no problem believing in that power. They don't hesitate. But you know what? As adults, we begin to doubt that power. I don't know why. We all do it. I do it. We seem to forget that we serve a God who will do the impossible. We seem to forget that. You know, I remember when I was first came to the Lord, and the power of this prayer. Well, I can be a very lazy person, especially when it's 112 degrees in Arizona. And I would pray, God, give me a parking spot right next to the door of wherever I was going. We've all done it. We've all asked for that parking spot. And God would give it to me. I was like, wow, there's really something in this prayer thing. There's power. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start with verse 33, and we're going to look at a story that isn't unfamiliar to probably anyone here in this congregation. We're going to look at the story of David and Goliath. Starting with verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. And he also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and a sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. God took a youth to slay a giant, but not any youth. This was a young man who believed in the power of God to work in his life to slay a giant. We don't read in this word where David was all nervous and his knees were clanking together. We don't read that he was in fear. He believed the God that he served would fight this battle, that there was power in God, and God would use that power and work through him. David knocked down that giant. We all have giants in our lives. Every single one of us has a giant. But so often when we are come face to face with that giant, do you know what we as adults seem to do? We're young adults. We run to the corner and cower. Oh no, this giant is too overwhelming in my life. No. It's going to consume me. And we pull the sheets up over our head because we don't want to face it. How much greater would the victory be in our lives if we would just face it straight on, using the power that God has given us, move it, knock it down, kill it. How much greater? Let's turn back a few chapters to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Again, a very, very familiar story. A story that will not be new to the believer. Starting with chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony, you with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually was heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed they served a God that would see them through. They served a God who had power to save them from this fiery furnace. Again, we don't read of their fear and standing up before Nebuchadnezzar and say, "Go ahead, throw us in the furnace." We don't read that they're scared. They believed that God would see them through. 4 men we've read about, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all followers of God. And this morning, I believe that I am speaking to believers this morning. They believed in his power. The same power of the Old Testament is in the New Testament, and it is alive here today. God instills this power in those who believe in him. Every year when we go to camp, we are always in prayer for a fire, being able to have 2 fires. One of the Holy Spirit, but the second is to be able to sit around a campfire and toast marshmallows. And living in Arizona in a drought, we don't always get that. But on the rare occasions that we have, and we have sat around, snuggled in our blankets around that fire, when we go back to the cabin, we hear the words of, "Oh, I smell like the fire. Ooh, I stink. Pew, pew, pew." We hear all those words because we smell of smoke. Think of the power that God has to put these men not just in a furnace that would incinerate them, but they come out, their hair wasn't singed, and they didn't even smell like they'd been in the fire. That's power. That is power. It's a power that's available to you. But we as believers, I don't know, we put it on the back shelf too often in our lives. In Matthew 17:20, it says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you.'" How many of you have a mountain before you? And you look at it and you're overwhelmed and you think, "There's no way I'm going around this thing because it's massive." So you just stand there and do nothing. I'm going to tell on Pastor Maggie. She'll hear this later, so it'll be okay. A few months ago, there was a situation in their lives with their grandchildren. And she just came to me and she said, "That's a mountain that can't be moved. Ain't going to be moved." And I looked at her and I said, "My God moves mountains." And it took God about 6 weeks. Perfect timing. But he moved that mountain. He moved that mountain. on behalf of her grandchildren. I don't know why we doubt what God can do for us. I don't know why we doubt his power. Maybe we think we don't deserve what God has for us. Maybe we're just too comfortable in our lousy circumstances to want him to change it. And you may think, oh, that's not... No, who would be comfortable in their bad circumstances? Lots of people. Because if things go right, oh, the expectation may change. So it's a lot easier to sit in our lousy circumstances than let God work his mighty power and change our lives. We all face giants. There's not a one of us in here. Some of us face a different giant every single day of our lives. And I don't know which ones you're facing. I don't know which fire God is having you walk through today, or this week, or this month. I don't know a believer that doesn't have to walk through a fire. I don't know what mountains are before you that you're just like, if this mountain wasn't there, life would just be easier for right now. I don't know. But what I do know is that God has the power to work in your life if you would just believe it and accept it. He desires good for you. He desires to work in your life. He desires you to walk in victory. But sometimes we're just too comfortable coming to church on Sunday and okay. Got my little fill of faith today. And then the rest of the week, we're like, oh, look at that. It's wrong in my life. Oh, look at that. If you have the faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. It will move. I have seen mountains in my life move. I have seen giants slain. And I have come out of fire without the bottoms of my feet burned. In Matthew 19:26, it says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You can't do anything. I tell my children that all the time. You can't do anything. You know, when they come and say, I can't do math. You're right, you can't do math. You can't. But with God, all things are possible. I serve a God that makes things possible. I don't want to stand and have giants in my life that I can't slay. There's power. And today, my brothers and sisters, that power is there for you if you would just grasp onto it. Carolyn, can I have you come? You know, as I said, I don't know the giants. Don't know the fires. Don't know the mountains. Maybe you today need physical healing. Maybe there's a job situation that you just find, this is impossible and unbelievable to deal with. Maybe your heart is broken and you just like, it'll never heal. I don't know what it is in your life. But what I do know is that there is power in prayer. There is power in God's name. He will slay every giant. He will pull you out of every fire, unsinged and better than you were at the start. And he will move mountains on your behalf because he loves you, brothers and sisters. So today, as the altar is open, if you have giants, mountain or fire, and you've accepted it may be there, I ask you to come forward for prayer. Let us stand in agreement with that power that God has given you. Today's the day, my dear brothers and sisters, to believe in your God-given power.